This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. In 2014, Southeastern Asian cuisine, think Malaysian, Indonesian, Filipino, was the new it cuisine. That same year, Southern Mediterranean became a thing. Turkish, Moroccan, and Iranian dishes were showing up on foodie blogs and websites. Then Peruvian restaurants started showing up in cities across America. Missing among these culinary trends is one cuisine that writers and a few entrepreneurs have predicted is just about to hit the big time, Native American food. At a time when simple, back-to-the-land local food is decidedly on trend, why aren't Americans seizing upon the country's truly local cuisine? Emily Jury is senior associate editor covering education for The Atlantic, where she asked, why isn't Native American food hip? Emily, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
So, as we said, several times over the past few years, food writers, bloggers, your magazine, The Atlantic, declared Native American cuisine as the next big thing. Why do you think it hasn't panned out?
They did declare that, and it makes sense. It's local and seems like it would catch on, but it really hasn't. And I think part of that is because people just don't really know what it is. And while there are some adventurous eaters who might want to try it, when you talk to landlords, they're looking for a sandwich shop or a pizza parlor that they consider a safer option.
And what is it? What is Native American food?
That's another issue. It's really hard to define. So people have lots of different ideas. People will think about things like buffalo, but salmon can also be Native American. It completely depends on the tribe. And there are more than 500 tribes in the U.S. So the central theme is it's very local. So foraging is big and relying on local crops and herds is key.
I was in Washington, I guess, in the spring, and was urged to eat at the cafe at the National Museum of the American Indian there. And the food was very, very good. But I had no idea what to expect Native American food to be. So why do you think that hasn't been, I guess, branded earlier when...
Right. Branding is difficult. The way that that museum kind of got around that problem is they created different stations. So there are five or six different stations within that cafe, and each one kind of specializes in a different region. And they spell out for museum patrons what they can expect, but it's very much an educational process. There's a restaurant that's the subject of this piece in Denver called Tokabe, and Ben Jacobs, one of the owners, sees education as part of his mission. So he spends a lot of time, not necessarily on branding, but on educating the community and on talking to people who come into the restaurant. So not necessarily great for business, but he sees it as part of his mission to educate people.
Well, tell us a little bit more about Ben's entrepreneurial hopes for Tokabe.
So he partnered with one other man, and they decided, not quite a decade ago, that they were going to start this Native American restaurant. And Ben is part of the Osage tribe in Oklahoma, and he had grown up around restaurants. His parents owned restaurants, including one Native American restaurant. And he decided that he wanted to get into that. And he decided fast casual was the way to go. Denver also made sense. I mean, he was from Denver, wanted to stay there. But a lot of tribes were resettled in that area. So there is something of a Native American population there. And he decided he was going to open this restaurant. And he, quite frankly, had trouble finding landlords who were willing to rent space to him. So a few years ago, they said, yeah, we're going to expand. We're going to have, 13 restaurants really soon. And, 6 years later, that really isn't the case.
Fast casual, would that compare with like a Chipotle or sort of Panera?
Exactly,
kind of thing?
Exactly. And Chipotle is frequently the comparison that's used because Chipotle was also sort of started in Denver.
Well, I think a lot of people have an association with Native American food with fry bread, this idea of fried food, very heavy, very dense. So they wouldn't think it's a healthy alternative.
Exactly. And Ben will say, you shouldn't eat my food every day of the week the same way that you shouldn't have a hamburger and french fries every day of the week. But occasionally, it's okay. And he does start with fry bread, which is controversial. It was something that many tribes consider survival food, where they were uprooted from their communities and it was sort of what they were given by the government in order to survive. And not all Native Americans think that fry bread should be preserved, but it is something that is common among tribes. And so Ben felt it was a good place to start. So he uses it a bit the way Chipotle would use a tortilla. So you can have a fry bread taco, you can have kind of a salad on top of your fry bread, you can have fry bread sort of with your meal, but it is pretty much the base of everything else at Tucabe. And then he looks to other ingredients. So they have buffalo, for instance. But that also brings up an issue of cost, because buffalo is so much more expensive than beef. And he has to pass some of that cost along to the customers, and they're not always receptive to that because it is kind of a fast casual restaurant.
Yeah, I was thinking that Chipotle, they don't necessarily source things locally. How much more does it cost to a sort of fast casual dinner when you're eating foods that are sourced locally?
It's difficult. And Tucabe, they've done a pretty good job of keeping the costs relatively affordable. I don't have the specific cost of say an Indian taco, but it was under say $12. So it's not outrageous. And while he does look for locally sourced ingredients, his priority is sourcing from tribes. He wants to support native communities. So he will bring in different goods, especially dry goods from around the country, as long as they come from tribes.
How about, from my limited understanding of Native American culture, which of course there's a huge variety within the tribes, there is a really distinct relationship between the food one eats and there's a sort of place in the cosmology for the food one eats. So is presenting Native American food in a kind of, you know, more fast food environment an anathema to the traditionalists?
In some ways, yes. And there was actually an interview with a Native American chef on NPR, and he basically said that restaurants aren't necessarily a part of Native culture, that's not something that's common. And so in some ways, there are these really innovative Native American chefs, probably across the country. We just don't know about it because they don't take their food into restaurants. They feel that it's more important to sort of stay with the tribe, to feed the tribe, to serve the tribe. And it's very much a communal thing, but it's not necessarily something that's shared widely.
So with chefs like Ben Jacobs who have a larger mission to educate people, do we have any good models of, I don't know, education and food service at the same time? I mean, that's a lot to put on the success of a restaurant.
Right. It's complicated. And he started this very young. I mean, he was in his mid-20s when they opened Tucabe, and so was his business partner, Matt Chandra. And they really looked to serve the community from the outset, but it has been kind of an experiment. So he thinks, for instance, that it's really important to hire Native American workers. That's great, but a lot of them don't have restaurant experience, and he hires young people, so he might hire teenagers, and he spends a lot of time working with them. He also, and I thought this was interesting, he doesn't consider himself a chef, even though I would argue that he is. He sees his work as kind of preserving native food, and he asks his workers to bring in family recipes, and they spend a lot of time kind of testing those out and bringing ones that seem like they would be good sort of to the broader restaurant. But he also does things like offer scholarships for Native American students to attend college. And he does all of these different things, and that takes a lot of time away from running the business. And he would argue it's part of the business, that is part of his mission, but it's certainly not something that you see most chefs devoting significant time to.
So what do you think it would take, Emily Derry? Maybe a celebrity chef, well-known, embracing Native American food to give it a little bit more luster in the public eye?
Potentially, I think that could help, but I think that it would also have to be done carefully, because you wouldn't want to give the impression that you were appropriating something that wasn't yours. And I think that Native communities are very proud of their food, but they also want to be the ones to preserve it and to share it, and sort of passing it off to someone else raises some questions, I think.
Emily Dury, she's Senior Associate Editor covering education for The Atlantic. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
Her article in The Atlantic is called Why Isn't Native American Food Hip? You can find a link to read it at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.